The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 336. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Dr. Free Sunday.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up?
And Brian Monjoma.
I see that Halo has been eating good.
Yes, she has.
Whoa.
Man, yo, we're not even, like, gonna front. We're just gonna go right into it, aren't we, Brian? That's the first question of the night. No intro.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. First question of the night. Yeah, fuck it. we got nothing else to say, so let's get into it, man. First question of the night. This is from Kashak, and he asks this very pertinent question. Why are people upset with Aloy's face?
why are people now upset with Aloy's face?
Yeah, let me dial it back a little bit, and then we get into it. All right, so over the weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, right? People should be chilling, relaxing. Instead, no, they were on Twitter complaining about Aloy's face, saying that she got fat. That's all they were complaining about all fucking day. It was ridiculous, and it is stupid because, like, really. Like, I can see that Aloy's looking rough around the edges, but where's she going to get makeup in the fucking post-apocalypse? You know? Aloy was never that great looking to begin with. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know?
It's fine. She's fine looking. She looks fine. She's not, I mean, she's not out to go win the fucking Miss America pageant.
Yeah.
Or
Miss Horizon pageant, you
Miss
know?
Horizon, Miss Post-Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
You know?
It's silliness, you know.
Maybe. What's her face would win that? What the hell's her name? 2B.
Yeah, 2B. She will win it. Yeah, I mean, she got makeup and stockings and all that other stuff. Yeah, you know.
And so this all goes back to what people just want them to look like the old Laura Croft. Is that what they expect all these heroines to look like?
Yeah. Well, what happened is somebody
made her a little thick. What's the big deal?
Yeah. What happened is this guy got ratioed to fucking hell. So he took a screenshot of Aloy as she looks in the Horizon game, the new one, right? And then they did like one of those face apps where she's got a smile on, she got makeup on and shit. Like, why can't she look like that? You know? went insane, bruh. But you know, so that's the first part of the question. We'll circle back to Aloy. The question in full is, how do you feel about this controversy surrounding Aloy's face? It seems that with every Sony game, there is always some gamer outrage. Kratos not being able to jump, Puddlegate with Spider-Man, Abby having muscles, and now Aloy's fat face. Is this what happens when you're at the top and everyone's trying to bring you down? Yeah, there's always some controversy when it comes to PlayStation exclusives. You notice that?
This is the internet. This is the fucking internet. What happens when you have everybody with a fucking mic and a keyboard to voice their opinions. It's always going to be pricks to say dumb shit just for the reaction. So
yeah, but yeah, so yeah, because that's the first thing I thought of. Like, smells a little like Puddlegate around here. I almost tweeted, I'm like, is this face gate? It's cheek gate, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? Every time with a Sony game, you know?
Now, you guys, so I'm curious, Tony, do you think that there's any leg to stand on with this one?
Again, I
think it's just pure ridiculousness.
I think it's ridiculous, but I'll concede, like, yeah, Aloy is not that, she's not like a hot girl or anything, but she never was that, you know?
Yeah, she never was supposed to be that, really.
Does she look worse?
She looks the same.
She looks about the same to me, you know?
Okay, I haven't seen this. I think maybe what people are getting upset about is, like, this idea that they're kind of trying to normalize and every person, you know, the characters in video games. We've moved away from, you know, we're moving into the polar opposite of what the 90s was, you know, where everybody was just fucking a fucking supermodel with shoulders 4 feet goddamn wide, and the women all had triple DDD whatever tits. I think we're moving into an era now where we're trying to normalize and kind of sync things more in reality. And I think some people aren't necessarily like, I personally, I don't care. But my point is, it's a fantasy. It's fucking this big old dinosaurs, dinosaur robot fucking things going around. And as to the whole, like, oh, it's post-apocalypse. You couldn't scrounge up some makeup. Motherfucker, they used to go into the woods and do berries and shit like that. The ancient Egyptians had makeup. It's not a new fucking thing. But, like, I'd have to see it. If it's clearly that they've kind of normalized her, then sure. Like, maybe that's what I was like, hey, maybe you don't actually spend a lot of effort trying to, you know, bring down the idea of fantasy, both male and female. Like, do we need a male protagonist with skinny shoulders? Do we need somebody who can't grow a beard fucking swinging an axe? Like, I don't think any of us want that. And that has nothing to do with, like, gender or sexuality or anything like that. Like, I don't want to see, like, a scrawny-looking Kratos with a patchy beard. I just don't. That's not what I imagine the power fantasy kind of thing being. So,
I like seeing the grit and the dirt. Like, that's one of the things that I always bring up, even on the podcast I Am Negan, whenever we talk about anything in Walking Dead. I like to watch them, and if I see a shirt that looks clean, and I see nice pearly white teeth, and a nice clean face, I'm like, bullshit! You're living in a hut, you're dirty, you're stinky, I want someone to point that out. I'm like, damn, you don't smell so good. I haven't washed in a few months.
Hey, Adam, Fear the Walking Dead is not real dirty, it's hot dirty, right? They shower, they put on makeup, and then they spritz them down with water bottles so they're just wet looking.
I want to see somebody roll in the dirt first and then say, all right, roll the camera, let's do this. I want to see their nails.
Dude, even if they do that, they're going to then gussy them up. Like, there's very few things that show the harsh reality of people looking like fucking Tilda Swinton, all right? Like, nobody wants to see that.
The only one that ever showed it, which is John Adams. The HBO series that was all about John Adams. That motherfucker had grimy teeth. Everybody had grimy teeth. And I was like, yeah, they didn't brush their fucking teeth. That was
your buddy.
But I almost feel like sometimes when they do the grimy look, like they also over, I feel like they over grimy. Like, in other words, like, you ever see, like, one of those, like, this show, like, medieval, like dinner parties, and they're all like, and then they're like throwing the bones across the room, and then the dogs come and eat it, and they're like, what's going on? You're overdoing the grossness.
They still don't look dirty. They don't look sweaty and stuff.
No, that's what they do. They make them look.
Adam, man, what do you want to see, bro?
The gangs in New York. Gangs in New York. Everybody looks stinky and dirty and getting sweaty, and it's sticky. It's just, oh, that's what I want. I want that grit. I want, every time I see the actors touch each other's faces and stuff, I want to see the dirt under the nails, long fingernails, not trimmed. I want to see that dirt. Show me the realism. Because how are they manicuring? How are they taking care of themselves? Show me.
There were people that did not in
the fucking 5 points.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah, of course, the higher ups, they had real ways of taking care of each other when everybody else didn't even have an outhouse.
I mean, you know, it's just like, it only takes a sharp a piece of metal or a stick and some basic water to, like, not walk around with dangerously I get what you're saying, but I think there's this common.
I want to see it. I want
but
to
here's
see.
The thing. You want to see them scraping their nails out?
I want to see the tools. I want to make sure that they're doing it. I want someone to acknowledge that, oh, I took a shower this week, and this is how I did it. Don't just go weeks on end, and everybody's just running around like, oh, I've been out here for weeks. Yeah, because your shirt is nice and clean. Don't bullshit me. Your hair isn't greasy either. You're looking really good.
That's I get what you're saying. Like, maybe they should make a nod to how they're doing it, but, like,
that's it. That's all.
You're talking a level of disgusting that is, like, breeding disease.
You know what?
Like, I'll tell you one thing.
Dude, this topic is taking a strange turn.
So you believe that Aloy doesn't look dirty enough?
She doesn't look dirty.
I want the grit. You know what I think?
There you go. She's not dirty enough, man. Complain about that.
Like last night, for the first time, I saw a Quiet Place.
Yes. Right?
And I'm like, oh, they all look grimy. They look dirty. The mom is doing her best to do the laundry, but I'm seeing her do it. You know what I mean? The kids trying to watch it. That makes sense, but they still, the hair's all raggedy, the beards and stuff. Perfect. Makes perfect sense in that situation. That's what I want to see in the games. That's what I want to see in other shows. Just throw some of that, or at least acknowledge some of that. Just, everything's too clean. So I like the way Aloy, whatever, she looks fine. She could, you know what? We should have it like in Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, if she eats a little bit too many coconuts, whatever, she's got to get in the love handles or something. Let's go that far. Remember that? Where you can, your character can get fat.
Yeah, right? Why not?
Adam, do you want them like in a post-apocalypse wasteland where they can barely take care of hygiene, or do you want them well fed? I don't think you can have it both ways.
No, I don't. I just want the grittiness. If you're going to play it and you're going to play that character, do a little bit of both. If, let's say, my character, I have the option to go through the water, whatever, and wash off. If not, I smell ripe. And there was a game that did that. Was it Red Dead? Whatever, the people can smell you? No, it was the first Last of Us, but it was just a comment that they were like, oh, I smell them and this and this and that.
Red Dead, it talks shit if you're too dirty, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they'll talk
those
shit.
Those type of things. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Metal Gear does it. If you're covered in blood, and you don't shower your character for too long, he gets little flies and shit, and then you're like, ugh.
Yeah, but on the other point, why do PlayStation games get so much scrutiny? I think it's just sheer numbers. You know, just because there's more PlayStation users out there, you know, it's going to happen. That's what I think.
We just went through the whole thing with Halo and the Craig Gate. I mean, they all get shitted on. It's just, except Nintendo, you rarely hear anything about Mario or Zelda. People just...
Oh, yo, man, Mario's fat.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, Mario gained some weight, man. Look at them cheeks.
No one cares. No one cares. No one cares.
You know? Nobody complained about Kate in Gears of War. Somebody was pointing out, oh, she got fat. Nobody said nothing. How do figure characters get fat? It's a fucking digital character. You know,
I mean, if you see the characters in gear with all the shit that they're actually wearing, they all look fat.
You know, my thing is, if you want like hot, you know, game girls or whatever, play anime games. There you go. All of them are fucking skinny, big titties and shit. You know, 15 years old. Like, yo.
Or, yeah, whatever. Questionable ages.
Yeah.
There's room for everything, man. Like,
Bayonetta.
Like, you can have games where, like, you know, fucking, like, Black Desert, where everybody is just fucking running around, like, with giant swords looking ridiculously hot for no apparent reason. Sure, why not?
Yeah, and then
you got games where, like, Last of Us, where Ellie just looks like she smells terrible. I mean, she looks offensive to, like, most of the five senses. So, like, you can have both, but here's the thing. Let the creators decide. If they want to give you a grounded experience with somebody who's honestly jarringly normal looking, like fucking Returnal, I still don't get that one. They're like, oh, we're gonna make her very, very average looking. I was like, yeah, but you made it like weirdly so, like, this looks Brain of Tarth. It seems like you overreached on that one. But regardless, whatever they want to do, man, it's up to them. If they want to make a game like that where that's the protagonist, well, I'm sure they had a very good reason. Here's the thing, a lot of people don't know that aren't creatives. Believe it or not, when people do things, no matter how much you dig into it, they've still probably thought of more than you've thought to bring up, right? Like, I generally know more about what's going on in a picture that I'm drawing or a scene that I'm drawing than, you know, you're going to notice all the way going in. I imagine Manny's kind of the same way. If you've ever written a story, like some of the people in here are or have, then you know way more about your character than you're even putting in the fucking script. So
there's the iceberg, you know? You show enough, but you know what's under
how do people see themselves? Like when it comes to creating character, do they create those type of characters? Do they create the girl that they're all pissed off that Ellie doesn't look like, they with the big boobs or whatever? Like my guys, I always make them look gritty. The last one.
Dirty motherfuckers.
What was the one that we had? Red Dead Online. Dirty beard, look dirty. All my characters look dirty.
You know, every character you play as is grimy as shit.
Okay, hold on. You guys you're making a fallacy here. We're not necessarily talking about grimy. Adam, do you make your characters pear-shaped?
Pear-shaped?
Yeah,
big gut.
It depends on the gear that I can put on them. If there's only like a tidy shirt and then it looks like he is like Blue Meanie and got like this big belly button sticking out, then there's no point in going that. But if I can put some girth on him and add some other aspects, yeah, I'll do it. I don't give a shit.
Adam, I didn't say girth. I said pear shape. Do you make him
know what the pear shape is?
small shoulder,
like a little short person with big hips.
Yeah,
I never made a girl to do that, and I don't really see guys with that. Usually, they have love handles. They don't look pear shaped. They look like, you know, swollen.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You're gonna make a guy that looks big and strong, right? And
No.
You're not.
I don't have any. You can look at my creative guys. I don't have any that big and strong. Remember my Grand Theft Auto guy? He's just running around with a dirty t-shirt, camo pants, and a helmet.
Yeah, but my point here though is we're not talking about grimy. Like, people can be grimy and still hot. If we're talking about the physical attraction of people, it's not just how much dirt texture does their model have. We're talking about things of proportionality. We're talking about things of secondary sex characteristics still being amplified. Like, even when you think you've gotten away from it, you haven't. You can make Michonne as dirty as you want. She's still hot.
No, but I wouldn't. If I made one, no, I wouldn't make it like all anorexic looking. Put some meat on her.
Why?
Why not?
But see, that's the thing, because you want to think that the character you're making is attractive, and just because
I wouldn't see that as just being attractive. It's like, if I put it, it wouldn't be realistic for that time.
All right, yo, we're getting off topic with this dirt shit. We're getting off topic, right? Even if people are comments like, what the fuck are you even talking about anymore? My thing is, if you're really upset about the whole Aloy look, don't fucking buy the game. Brian, what's your take, man?
My take is just simple as fuck. If you're going to, like, scan a real person's face into the game and then change it to make it look more normal, then that's kind of weird, because then you're admitting that the person's face you scanned is not normal. So why don't you just get traces from HR? I'm sure that, like, she's a normal-looking person, per se. So, like, if you want a normal-looking face, you find someone who's normal and scan their face. Don't scan, like, a supermodel's face and then make it look not supermodel, you know?
That's a good point, because if you look at Aloy model's face, I'm like, why does the model look better than the character? Even though, like, you know, and this is like, oh, maybe technology hasn't caught up. Mass Effect mastered that shit 10 years ago, you know? What's her face? Oh my God, I'm forgetting her fucking name now. Miranda. She looks exactly like the fucking actress.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
she does. Just like and even Shepard, the male model, that guy looks like that in real life. Exactly. There's no difference. You know, so I do find that weird. So, Brian, I agree with you, because I've seen a lot. Like, why did you make the hot character not hot? No, why not just get a normal character to begin with? You know,
exactly. You know, just makes no sense. Like, just get a random bum from the streets.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Just trying to make it look like I don't know. They like some of the features. I'm gonna change some things up.
That's I mean, it's just more than having a face. You know,
it's the voice work.
The voice work is a different actress.
Sometimes, not all the
time. Yeah, no. With Aloy, is one voice actress and then one face actress. It's different.
That's the same for a lot of the Sony.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Characters though.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, yeah.
Because I know for Grand Theft Auto 5, all three of those, right? The main guys, Michael, all of them, Trevor, those actors, they took their likeness and they did the voice.
Trevor looks exactly like that in real life.
You can see them.
No, I mean the Italian guy. I don't remember him.
Yeah, I don't know about Michael, Michael. I don't know about him, but Trevor, that guy looks like that in real life.
Yeah, he looks like them.
It's crazy. All right, so we'll move on. Next question is from, who is this? Drunken Demon.
Who does Demon? Mm-hmm.
Who that? He has a related question though. Very interesting. Why do Sony fans get overly emotional when you point out Horizon 2 is copying elements of Breath of the Wild? I have a follow-up question to this one. Brian, for no reason whatsoever, I'll let you go first.
This is a tough question to answer. The person who asked the question must be really good at this. Fuck. I have no idea why people get overly emotional. Again, I think it's the whole Gears of War effect, where you get... Again, Gears of War was not the first third-person shooter game to do that, but it's the most recognized to do that. So I think people just get really upset when something that they like is told to be to be similar to something else. Because even if you look at...
What are you talking about? What? Do what?
The whole third-person cover-based shooter thing is not...
Oh, yeah, that's not new.
Killswitch was the one that popularized it, right?
I think it was just the roadie run that Gears really stuck out because that's something it created. But, yeah, the cover-based, that's always been around.
Go ahead, Brian. I have a question about this.
Genshin Impact? Again, heavily inspired by Breath of the Wild. And even that Immortals Phoenix Rising. also heavily inspired by Breath of the Wild, to the point where you could think that it's like a mod of it just by looking at how the game plays. But yeah, again, that happened. People were very quiet, and then suddenly people saying, oh, like, this game is now copying Breath of the Wild. And then suddenly people are up in arms and getting very offended by it. It's like, is that not a compliment? Like, is that a good thing? Like,
okay, I want to break this down. What is Horizon 2 copying from Breath of the Wild?
The glider.
Sly Cooper did that before Breath of the Wild.
True. But again, going back to the whole Gears of War thing, like Breath of the Wild is like the one in the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
like
the one that popularizes it.
Exactly. So again, I just don't know why people are upset. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you can copy from other games, but it's a thing. All games do that. I
mean, the glider is the peach dress from Mario 2. That's a great point, Upper AK.
Soul Reaver had a gliding ability, too.
Here's my question. Why the fuck do Nintendo fans always have to say that Breath of the Wild inspired every game? That's what I want to know. Every time a game was out, they stole from Breath of the Wild. You know, games existed before Breath of the Wild, right? And Breath of the Wild, there's nothing in that game that's original. It's all ripped off of other games. So, like, Breath of the Wild was not the first game in existence. That's what I want to know. And I think that's where part of that animosity comes from, because you hear this, Breath of the Wild inspired. You know, so people are just tired of hearing that shit, you know?
Starting to get Dark Souls level of...
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know?
Or Rise.
Like, there is nothing original in Breath of the Wild, right?
I got Carlos.
So it's like, true. Yeah. So thanks, it's like, it does things very well. I will give it that. But you've seen all that shit before, you know? So there's nothing special about it, to be honest. So I think that's what it is. People are just tired of these Nintendo fans constantly, like, hailing it as the most technical, marvelous achievement ever, you know? A true original, a pioneer, you know? And it's not. So I think that's where that's coming from. Breath of the Wild copy Breath of the Wild. There you go, man. Go ahead, guys. Chime in.
Go ahead, Brett.
I think Breath of the Wild did do some stuff that was kind of new and innovative at the time, man. I mean, it kind of... And a lot of it was honestly taking it back. So maybe new and innovative wasn't the kind of thing to do. But especially at the time, open world games were very direction... one after the other after the other. Like, you went to a new area, you unlocked a thing, it told you to go this new area, you unlocked the thing, you unlocked a new thing. Zelda's exploration was very broad. It was very open. You were pretty much allowed to go wherever you want. The game tried to use visual navigation cues and landscape to try and drive you towards certain things that, you know, could pop up as kind of an event. So the approach to open world, I think, was kind of significantly different. Also, it was the first goddamn game where you're just allowed to climb wherever the fuck you want. So I think, like many games, it took some things that were already done, it enhanced them, it put them back out there. The industry agreed that this is, you know, a step forward, and then adopted those. So everybody's right. I mean, it did adopt things that were done before, and it did them a little bit differently, and then those were adopted by other people. But that doesn't mean that it didn't look at the success of the game and try and model at least some of it after Zelda. I mean, that's... But even then, like, the basic DNA of it is, like, fucking old-school original Zelda, where you have to get the different tools to use them to open, you know... It's kind of like saying, like, oh, that game's a Metroidvania. It's just ripping off Metroid. Like, yeah, man. Like, that's part of the DNA of video games. A Zelda-like has always been known as, you know, you use different tools and new tools to access different areas, and then you go to a dungeon, and that gives you a new tool, which accesses you another area. So that's kind of always a thing. But I won't say that it's patently untrue, and that there's not any kind of good point to it.
Yeah, my thing is, like, there was another game that just threw you into the middle of it and let you just go where you want. The original Legend. You know what I'm saying? Like Zelda was just doing what it always did, you know. And that was
here's my question: why are PS fans such as yourself so happy to give the credit to anybody else? But, like, because I hear a lot of, oh, it didn't copy this from this, it copied this from another game. So you don't really care that it's being copied, you just really care that it's Zelda getting credit for it?
No, my point is I don't like the fact that people are saying that the Breath of the Wild specifically is this giant fucking innovative game when it's not. If you want to say Ocarina of Time is super innovative, I will give you that all day, every day, you know, but not Breath of the Wild. It does what it does well, but it did not come up with a lot of this shit already.
Oh, fucking cry me a river. People have said the same shit about you. Go back and listen to the podcast where I was talking about this exact same fucking thing when people were hailing Horizon as this new big fucking thing. Is this a rehash of old parts?
It is, and that's no one's going to say
it. No one said it's innovative.
Tony, yeah.
That's what an evolution is, though. Like that, when you take something and you build on the back of it. No video game has been completely brand new, fucking inspired in fucking years, man. It's always a half step up beyond what used to be there. So,
Let me finish. No, but my point is like, I understand that, but I'm just saying, don't act like Breath of the Wild is the only game that came up with this shit. That's my only point. Not you, Brett. These people online, these Nintendo fans.
These people. I mean, it's, you know, this whole thing. First of all, no one is saying Horizon innovated anything.
Of course not. It took that game was a hodgepodge of everything that came before. It just did it very, very well. You know, that's all it is.
And the whole thing with Breath of the Wild, it's no paradigm shift anywhere with that game. It just implements what's already been done and does it really well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole sandbox thing. I mean, you know, Fallout did a sandbox before Breath of the Wild did. I mean, Ocarina of Time kind of did it too. You know, the whole thing with the climbing. I mean, I feel like the Assassin's Creed was a bigger paradigm shift in climbing than Breath of the Wild was.
Easily.
So it just does its own twist on things. It's an evolution. You know, all of these games are an evolution. If there is one game that is truly innovating, it should get recognized for it. But I don't think any of these games are.
Why do you think we all praised the fucking Mordor game? We're like, oh shit, this is doing something we've never seen before. You know how rare that is? And that's my point, you know?
The Nemesis system.
Remember, we were all like, yo, this is fucking crazy. You know, because we've never seen anything like that before. That's very rare when you say, I've never seen anything like that before in a video game, you know? And that's why I get, like, annoyed with these Nintendo fans just saying, oh, Breath of the Wild invented everything in the world, you know? Breath of the Wild is to Nintendo fans as Rise of Rome is to Xbox fans. It created everything, you know.
I think the thing about
gets
it
that
is
joke.
That
yeah,
it is. It is always.
Well, I made
what
it
is
earlier.
It. I think what the thing about it is it's always whatever's within the zeitgeist that people automatically magnetize to when something else is doing something that has always been done. You know, at this point in time, Breath of the Wild is the popular cat. So, yeah. You know, everything that comes after that is going to be considered, oh, it's going to be a ripoff of that.
That isn't to say there aren't ripoffs. Genshin Impact, the Phoenix game, yes, that's clearly taken from Breath of the Wild. No one's going to deny that shit.
Well, the thing about it is Genshin Impact, I mean, the only reason why anybody is saying that is because it's a cel-shaded game. There is nothing about Genshin Impact that is like the Zelda game.
There's a couple animations that are like.
There's actually quite a few things, Manny.
But I'm saying, like, again, like, a number one, like, if there is something that's taking from something else, that's fine. Everything's game out there.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Just don't say Breath of the Wild is the most innovative game on Earth.
You don't go saying, hey, we're going to make a Deep Impact and then we're going to make Armageddon. It's the same shit. They had the same inspiration. They're both making fucking Meteor movies.
Yeah,
it's just about who's doing the Meteor movie better.
Here's what I don't understand. Like, you can say this all you want, but at the end of the day, Horizon Zero Dawn actually took nothing from Breath of the Wild that actually made Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild. You still have to climb on fucking handholds. You're still clearly directed from one zone to another in a very kind of cinematic approach. It's not a sandbox. It's an open world game, right? Like I can't see where this has things with Zelda
Literally the hang glider. That's all it is. It's the hang glider.
It's just the hang glider stuff.
Yeah. It's just the hang
glider. And here's the thing. That New Horizon got a double whammy because everybody's accusing it of stealing from Just Cause because you have a grappling hook now.
Well, I'm sure they did. Where did the hang glider idea come from? Yeah, it probably came from Zelda. But again, they're not the first one to do it. That was just sort of like, oh, you know what? We should do a glider because they've been doing that in another game since then. And, you know, a hook shot. There you go. Fucking sure. Why not? Because, you know, they like that. Just like, there's nothing wrong with them seeing something and kind of making a nod towards it. It's not ripping anything off to be like, oh, people seemed to like this.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine. I'm just saying, stop saying that Breath of the Wild is the most innovative game on earth. That's all I'm asking these fans. That's all I'm asking. You know?
Man, you sound like you just really have a problem with Breath of the Wild. You seem a little sensitive about that.
The thing is, think about this. I mean, I've already said that game is highly overrated, and then I've had to hear these stupid ass fans for the last 4 years talk about how it's the greatest thing on earth. It's fucking annoying, and I will be very upfront about that.
I'll be honest. This sounds a lot like the whole like Sony fans can't let anybody but Sony do something good or innovative kind of argument. I mean, you're protesting a little too much, man.
I'm protesting because it's fucking annoying.
I'm just saying, it sounds like you just don't want to give credit to Zelda for anything.
Because I don't. That's why.
And that's
you know.
And that you can say that
not over a fucking game that's that game. If you want to give it to fucking Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past, the first Zelda, you go right the fuck ahead. Those games deserve it. They fucking innovated. They push shit forward. Breath of the Wild, no. Nothing.
Okay, that's, you know, I got to solidly disagree with it. Same way, like, you could say Dark Souls wasn't innovative because games used to be difficult, but it brought back difficulty in games when it wasn't really being utilized. Zelda brought back sandbox mechanics when it wasn't being utilized much. Everything, you fucking opened your map, and there was just fucking quick marks, check marks, like, fucking everywhere. You could see literally where every single thing was. Not the area, not a hint, where the fucking end collectible was. And it was just an issue of going around the map and picking up all these little fucking trinkets. Since then, games have dialed back on that. They're trying to make it more immersive. They're trying to make it so that you have to go to a place and then kind of home in on it. I even saw that shit with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So you can't sit there and say that it didn't have any kind of impact, because things like Horizon were the worst perpetrators for basically, here's all your fucking map icons. And honestly,
you act like that's the only sandbox game.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
World of Warcraft did it way before that.
Minecraft, that's another big sandbox too, you know?
Okay. So you guys just heard sandbox? Is that the only thing you heard off that? Let's simplify
that. That's just one of the points.
So why have we dialed back on map markers since?
Have we? I haven't noticed that. I'm seeing as many map markers as possible, man. As always, the only game that didn't have them was Breath of the Wild, which I thought was fucking annoying. I'm like, you're wasting my time here. Tell me where the fucking shit is, you know?
Dude, Assassin's Creed Valhalla dialed back on the map markers.
No, not really. It was all there, man. It's all right there on the map, you know?
Not until you climb the tower and open them up.
Yeah, well, that's the Ubisoft thing. You got to climb a tower and then you get everything, you know? Like,
That's actually a weird Ubisoft Towers thing that Horizon 1 copied as well.
Yeah, every open world game.
Just stick a knife in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, no one's here saying that Horizon is the most innovative original game ever. It isn't. But motherfuckers are saying that it brought Breath of the Wild, and I will never agree with that at all. You know?
You're about to say I take offense to that.
I do take offense to that, you know?
Tony just hates Breath of the Wild. A lot of Sony fans do.
But it's not about being. It's not about Sony thing. It's just the game's overrated. And I will always say that.
It's just that you don't want to give Nintendo credit. No, it's different. I get it.
But I just literally just said like 2 minutes ago, I will give credit to innovative games from Nintendo like Ocarina of Time and Super Metroid and Super Mario World. Those are Nintendo games. I'm giving them praise, you know?
Yeah, you're giving the ones from the 90s praise.
Yeah, the good ones. You know, come on, man.
Yeah, you're totally not hating on a company when you say they haven't put anything out that's advanced the industry in 20-some-odd years. That's not like a backhanded compliment at all.
Yeah, well, you know, aside from the fucking Wii U controller or Wii controller, Nintendo innovation, not so much. Let's just be honest here, you know?
I know a lot of people would disagree with that, but...
Let them disagree, you know, but... Anyway, good discussion.
I think a lot of this is getting into the fact of preference rather than actual fact.
Yeah, there are no facts here. It's just fucking.
I think a lot of this is just personal fifis rather than actual looking at something and looking seriously objective. And it's at least on one end, it's obviously with you, Tony, who does not think that Breath of the Wild is worth you know, considering to be innovative, which I disagree with the part of it not being inspiring. I do think that that game is quite inspiring. We've already named games that have taken inspiration from it, but also the same thing with on the other end with Brett on Horizon Zero Dawn, who refuses to see what it is doing what it's continuing to do.
Refusing to, not able to, and I don't, again, it's the same as with Witcher. I said the first game, I don't have a problem with the first Horizon. Seems like a fantastic game that is well-produced and has a lot of fans. It just doesn't do it for me.
So you're a hater just like Tony is?
It's both hating on different sides of the spectrum.
My thing is, I will freely admit I'm fucking hating on it. That's the difference, you know?
How am I hating on it when I'm saying it's Breath of the Wild?
Is that clear enough?
Tony's never said that Breath of the Wild is a bad game.
No, it isn't. It's a good game, but fuck that game. Oh man.
So then what goes back to what was the original question again?
I don't even know anymore.
Because we're not even we've already gone.
Oh yeah, why are Sony fans upset over Breath of the Wild comparisons? And I flipped it around like why are Nintendo fans saying this is the most innovative game on Earth?
To be honest, I don't think Sony fans should be mad at all about the Breath of the Wild, inspiration or whatever. If they are taking from it, to be honest, every single bit is game. If it's out there and they think it adds to the whatever they think that this game needs, then why not? I mean, if Star Wars comes out and then Roger Corman wants to jump on that bandwagon and make his fake fucking Star Wars ripoff movie, then who the fuck cares War of the Stars or whatever.
Or Battle of the Suns. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a battle in the stars or something. Yeah.
I think it's important to mention something like Manny mentioned. Breath of the Wild is definitely inspirational in terms of the industry.
I will give it that, it's inspirational.
It has everyone, you know, a lot of gamers consider that as sort of the pinnacle of gaming. You know, the Metacritic score says it itself. It's fucking like a 90 some, like 98 or some crazy stuff like that. It's like super high, one of the highest games ever. But also it's important to, you know, objectively, you know, talk about the facts and like, what did it actually innovate in terms of innovation versus inspiration? When I saw the whole Breath of the Wild hand gliding thing, the first thing that I thought was, shout out to Chris, was Just Cause. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Just Cause shit. It was like, so that's what I thought. I didn't think of Breath of the Wild. And I played more Breath of the Wild than I have Just Cause. So, but then there's, you know,
that audience that's questioning if they even played that game. Because
thing.
Could be the first time. It's always the same shit, like with Nine Inch Nails and the whole thing with her. That's Johnny Cash song. Like, what the fuck?
And that's what I heard myself. And that's the thing with this whole Breath of the Wild thing, is that I think a lot of people use that game as a litmus test for a lot of things, because Nintendo is sort of. Kind of like how Sony is in a way, they're kind of limited in the titles that they get to show off. You know, like there's a reason why Breath of the Wild is always in this fucking conversation. And that's because that's the game that I guess most Nintendo fans have decided to pin it against everything else.
Yeah. Anyway, Nintendo fans are annoying. Let's move on to the next question. This is from John Christ, who's joining us in the chat tonight. What's going on, brother? So his question is kind of related to the last one. Why do PlayStation fans get overly defensive about console features their console lacks? The PS5 did not launch in a great state and is still not there yet. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you on that one, bro.
Yo. So, God, I have to do it. I'm sorry, guys.
Do it.
Yo, so you're saying the PS5 did not launch in a solid state?
Nice. Yeah. No one's going to deny. Like, the PS5, bro, sometimes it feels like the shit was put together with fucking duct tape and spit. You know? Like, bro.
Wait, they spit yours?
Yeah, it's a little bit. You know, that's the thing that holds it all together.
that's the lubricant.
That's the cooling. You know, but I'm gonna say this though. I'm gonna give the straight asshole answer, which is probably true. Of course, they're defensive about it. They spent $500 on this shit, and these guys tie their identity to consoles and games. So if you attack the console, you're attacking them. So they got to be defensive. That's the reason. That's
like, you know, you may not play as their mama.
Yeah, it is. It's the fucking
family. It's like that with everything. We talked about it before. It's like that with a lot of people into sports, their teams. You know, how dare you attack them? They're attacking them, their city. Same shit. And if people have invested their time, their money, especially their money in a product that they want to glorify, they can't imagine people poo-pooing it because then it makes them look stupid.
Yeah.
I think that's it exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Build on what Adam said.
Yeah.
Time is one thing. You can waste your time. You can say, all I've lost is time, whatever. Gaming kind of burns time. Money is the difference. And we hit a price point where it's not even just about losing money. It's about feeling like an idiot for wasting that amount of money, right? Like if you say that, like, I don't like this about my current purchase, that edges you just a little too close to I'm not super happy with my purchase, which is just a little too close to comfort for I may have made a mistake. Right. And like that's where people then kind of start battling, you know, with their pride. You know, they're not wanting to admit that maybe it wasn't the best choice. Maybe they shouldn't have bought it yet. Maybe it's not worth the money. Maybe any of these other things, even though, like, as somebody who owns both consoles, I can see, say, positive and negatives about both. But again, maybe that's because I own both. Maybe if I had only dropped $500 in one, I wouldn't really want to see the argument against it.
I got to be that guy right now. Got to be that guy. By the way, I agree with everything Brett just said, but I got to be that guy. Why do you think PC guys are the most offensive of all? You know, motherfuckers spend $1,500 on this shit. You know, you want to talk smack, they're going to get real mad at you, you know?
Yeah, and you the funny thing is you never hear the only answer that really matters is it was worth it to me. And that is the only answer you never hear. And I think that's just the weirdest goddamn thing.
That's right,
in other words, people want to see their purchases as an all-encompassing fact. You know, oh, hey, everybody's doing it. Everybody's got it. So that must mean it's the best thing ever. You know, for those of us who've come from generations where we did make the bad choice. You know, some of us bought a
30. Hey, hey, listen.
Some of us bought a 32X, thought that shit was the future.
Damn
some
right.
Some of us bought a 3DO and thought that shit was the future, or a Sega CD and thought that shit was the future.
But here's the difference, Manny. Here's the difference, right? We knew very well after we bought those, we're like, ooh, this may not have been a good thing. And we were okay with that. We were okay with that, exactly. You know? Because, again, we didn't tie our self-worth to these fucking machines.
Here's the thing. Like, the way I saw it is, like, especially with 3DO era of me, was like, you know, I made this investment. You know, we made this investment in this thing. I'm going to try to get as much out of this thing as possible. I would hope that it would stick around long enough so I could continue to play games. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and we still had fun, experiment. You know.
Quick experiment
it was the future.
We had our fun with 3DO. We had our fun with 3DO. Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
what's your experiment, man?
So I'm going to ask Manny and Adam and probably Brett, maybe, because I didn't have this console. And I don't even know if they had this console, but Tony, you don't answer this question.
Okay.
Neo Geo?
was the Sega Saturn a disappointment, or was it a failure or not?
That was a failure.
Yeah, okay. I didn't have that one.
I did not own that one.
Dreamcast.
Yeah. So I'm guessing if I ask the same...
Switch around. Say the Sega CD. Sega CD, was that a failure? Fuck yeah.
Well, no, because the reason I'm asking this question, because I know what Tony's going to say.
What's my answer? Because I have two answers.
For you, it's not a failure.
No.
But objectively, it is.
Oh, for me, yeah. Personally, actually, so I have three answers then, if that's the case.
Yo, man, what is this?
I have three answers then. It wasn't because I think I made the better choice over the PlayStation 1. PlayStation 1, you know, not that good. I had Final Fantasy and Metal Gear, obviously, but, like, I was a fighting game guy, so obviously it was the fighting game console to have. So, personally, I had no problem with it. It was a failure in the United States. Absolutely a fucking failure, right? But it was huge in Japan. It blew the fuck up. It was so huge when the Dreamcast was announced for Japan, Japanese, right? Why the fuck do we know a Dreamcast? We got a Saturn. That's how big it was over there, you know? A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. I mean, because I guess for for a certain set of people, a lot of the defects a lot of people can see. But for a lot of other people, for different various reasons, obviously Tony mentioned the reasons why he didn't think personally that was a failure. I guess that's
for
why.
Because it actually obviously was. Even back then, I would tell you, yep, this shit failed. Even back then, I would tell you that, you know?
And I guess the difference between Tony and a lot of people in this day and age that can't see the issues with the PS5, they can't be objective about it because they're tied so much emotional, you know, weight behind these consoles.
That's the problem.
Whether that's the financial emotion that Brett mentioned, or whether it's the whole, you know, polarizing my side, your side. I can't have a debate with anybody because if I admit that I'm wrong, then means that my console and my premise is flawed, which is not. You know, you can admit the issues that are with this console. The UI is clunky as fuck. The SSD, the second SSD implementation has not been done well. A lot of the stuff with the lineup, you know, it has been, you know, barren until hopefully, you know, when Ratchet drops in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's, you know, people tie a lot of emotional weight behind these consoles. And I think a lot of us, or I think all of us, you know, have either if we ever did in the past, I think that's long gone from now.
Yeah, gone. You know, you're right about PS5. It's like, if I don't play my PS5 for like over a week, when I come back, I'm like, how the fuck do I turn this shit off? Like even that is fucking cumbersome, you know? I'm not trying to get off the topic too much, but this is tied into something we talked about before, right? Actually, it was last week we talked about this, I believe, with a Mortal Kombat movie. It's like, it's okay to like bad things. It doesn't reflect on you, you know? You can admit you like a shitty movie. You know, just like you could admit, hey, my console ain't that good and it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person, you know,
and it doesn't mean that it can't get better.
And it can't. Exactly. Except Mortal Kombat.
I never stopped loving Fallout 76.
There you go.
I've been the first to admit it, man.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You were happy with it and that's fine, you know.
Yeah, but I think a lot of times people need it to be an all-encompassing fact that this thing is the greatest thing ever, and it really isn't. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it's okay that it isn't. Are you getting the enjoyment that you want out of it, or are you making excuses for whatever's there?
You know, buying all kinds of shit that was horrible purchases. Look at fucking my Ouya.
Don't say that shit to Joey Polanco, man. He loves that shit.
Welcome to the future. I was like, this is gonna play everything, and I could plug in my DualShock, and then it was just whack. And I was like, oh well. And now it's
hell. Look at Brian. He was a big fan of the N-Gage. You know, remember that shit?
Yeah, that was gonna be the future too. What, a gaming phone?
What? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it also
be the Switch. So they were right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I think you also have to admit when something that you are really excited about doesn't necessarily pan out. Like it's okay saying like, oh, this surpassed expectations. But I think the real lump that you got to swallow is when you're like, man, I was really excited about this. And no, lame. But personal example, I talked about Returnal way too much on the podcast coming up to the launch of Returnal. That game was shite. I put way too much into that. And I put like 3 hours in. I was like, nope, I was wrong. I was horribly, horribly wrong.
Yo, Brett, I was going to say, you're the king of guy who gets hyped up for a game and then it just fucking disappoints you. You do that all the time, man. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you want to be, you're the hopeful guy that's always disappointed in the end.
a cynic is just a disappointed optimist. But sometimes it pays off. I'll be honest, you and I will have to talk about this later.
Yeah.
I fucking love Biomutant.
Oh,
I have not had this much fun playing a game in forever, and I am fully aware that people are just tearing it the fuck apart, and I'm over here being like, well, I'm having a great time.
Yeah, by the way, a quick aside, I don't understand the fucking hate. Biomutant is a game that is just slightly better than average. It's not offensively bad. It's not great. It's good, you know?
It's like an old Ubisoft game, you know. It's just it's good enough, you know. You know, Beyond Good and Evil is a good game.
I saw this one fucking headline. This one headline. I'm sorry, man. It pissed me the fuck off because you know. And I'm saying this as a gaming journalist, right? You get these codes from these companies and shit. Yes, you should be honest about the product, but don't shit on it. This guy wrote this headline: Biomune is toxic trash that should be thrown in a dumpster. What the fuck is wrong with you writing a headline
like that? It's for the clicks.
You know?
It's for the clicks.
What the fuck is wrong with you? The company sent you the code and you shit on it like that? Fucking disgraceful, man. I hope they don't send this motherfucker any more shit, you know?
Well, that's the whole thing when we review or anybody reviews anything. They should just do it with creative criticism.
Yeah.
Explain your reason why you dislike it. Don't rip it like this. Just be like, hey, listen, there were some weak spots and this is why I thought this part was weak. For him to do that type of shit, that's just for the clicks because everyone's going to be like, well, damn, why did he hate it so much? Click.
Yeah, well, THU ain't going to send you no more codes, bro. How about that, fucking dumbass, you know? Anyway, let's move on to the next question. Good.
What company was that, by the way?
Can we say that? Oh, I mean, I'm not gonna say anything.
Don't plug
it. I'll find out. I'll find out later.
Yeah, you know, we used to do that.
No use getting them motherfuckers any.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Again, like Biomune, 20 dudes made that fucking game, man. Respect, you know. And I'm not even praising the game like that. I think the game's just okay, you know. But it's like I think the game's getting unfairly attacked, and that's not cool, you know. All right. Let's move on to the next question here. Also from Mr. Actually, whoa, this is different. By the way, Carlos, you inspired this shit.
Oh. You inspired?
I am adopting John Kreis's bonus question. Though technically it's kind of a second. John, you asked us about E3, but all the E3 questions that we've gotten tonight, I'm going to save them for next week's show or closer to E3, you know? Because E3 is coming soon, but I don't want to talk about too much about E3. I'm going to allow one E3 question because it's not predicty. You know, I know that's not a real word, but it's not like a predicty type of question. But don't worry, John, I got you, bro. We will answer your question. Same thing with Mob Hits. We'll answer your E3 question next. But this one is, do you feel a change in the wireless chipset is as significant as people are making it out to be for the PlayStation 5? We aren't talking about a massive redesign of the system. We're talking about one wireless chip. Okay, I tried to Google this, John. I don't know what you're talking about. Does anybody else? You're in the chat right now, so if you can inform me. Because I know there are rumors that they're going to change the inside of the PlayStation. Are they also changing the controller too, the inside of it, to make the battery last longer?
Like, the wireless chipset, like the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth?
Is that what you're talking about, John? Again, honestly don't know. Yeah.
That would be huge. The Wi-Fi on the PlayStation fucking sucks.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. Everything's wired for me, you know. Yeah, is it that bad? Is it that bad too?
Oh,
throw another thing on top of the PlayStation then. Throw another one then, you know?
I mean, to be honest, the wireless on most of the modern PlayStations have been pretty lousy.
Yeah, check this out.
The last one's terrible too.
PS3 had lousy wireless. Yeah,
let me just inject this real quick. So this is what John says. Thank you, John. Because again, I tried to Google this, but I couldn't find anything about it. He says, a new version to the PS5 went through the FCC. Only thing that changed was the Wi-Fi and BT chip. People are treating it like it's a goddamn PS5 Slim or something. No, we said this before. Like, yo, this revision is not going to be any big crazy thing, you know?
Didn't they say that the actual chip, the CPU, was going to shrink down a little bit? I heard about that.
But that's still, you know, not official yet. I don't want to confirm that.
Those are the rumors. So I don't think, you know, I still think we don't have anything official, but yeah, don't expect a PS5 Slim. I think it's still going to be the same size and everything.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Slim, you know. But to the question at hand, what do you guys think about the Wi-Fi? If that's getting fixed or whatever or updated,
I'm surprised. I mean, I guess Brett and Brian are the best ones to answer this because
I'm not using. Yeah, if it's a console, it's wired. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, you know? I don't like to deal with.
Yeah, so you guys should tell us what's up with the Wi-Fi on PS5.
Sorry, I just had this like mental thought of like Brett and I doing that thing from the Predator where they do like the manly shake thing. Because we're just about to team up again on Sony.
Yeah, the Predator handshake. Do it, man.
Like, yes, Brett. Let's team up on Sony and do some Sony hate again.
It's that time, ladies and gentlemen.
I just been having some really weird Wi-Fi problem with my PS5. It's that in like the exact same space as my PS4 did, and the same router, but it just disconnects every now and then. It's just inconsistent. So I don't know what the hell's going on. That's mostly it.
Yeah, I've had kind of the same thing. It'll be fine, and then like once an hour, it'll disconnect for a split second and then reconnect. But it's if you're playing an online game, it's enough to drop you, you know, half dozen times a day. So also, I have Google Fiber, and that shit still like is limited to, at least in the last I checked, less than 200 megabytes per second to be able to go through the chip. Even when you when you have it plugged in, it's a little bit better. But yeah, Wi-Fi, like, oh my god, there is a throttle. And if you have really good internet, it at a certain point it doesn't matter if you have fiber or not, because the system can only push through so much bandwidth, I guess.
Cheaped
out.
Yeah. This is John's story about the Wi-Fi. He goes, mine blips every hour or two as well. Halts all my downloads when it happens, so I can't download anything over wireless overnight. Damn.
Yeah, it does not do, but, you know, I think it was Manny that said this. Like, yeah, all of the network chips for the last, including this one, three PlayStation models have been bargain bin. They have. They just generally tend to cheap out on the Wi-Fi chip and say, you know, if you're serious about online gaming, go ahead and, you know, plug it in. Well, I have two PlayStations. Only one of them can be plugged in. The other one is in the living room in a place where I don't, you know, my router is fucking downstairs. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, back when I had the original three, you know, I didn't have a router that was close to or could be connected to it, so I was running things wireless. And it was just atrocious. It was horrible. Slow downloads. Online play was choppy and bullshit. So, you know.
Yeah.
And even going through the next generation, like 4 had a bad one. And, you know, it seems like order of business, same thing. The 5 is going to have the same shitty-ass Wi-Fi. Because, obviously, for something like that, they're probably going to, you know, cut some corners. I think, didn't the Xbox not even have wireless? As far as wireless internet,
which Xbox?
I don't remember which one. I know it was a modern one of the Xboxes that didn't have wireless internet.
Well, the first one,
the 360 definitely had it because I used it.
No. You had to get an adapter. Remember? You had to get a wireless adapter and then you connect it to the USB drive in the back.
Yeah, it was that little antenna, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what the chat's saying too.
So, I like Manny, I had issues with the PS4 wireless. It kind of like sometimes it felt like it was intermittent the way it worked. Also, I have issues with the Switch wireless.
That's
not only
horrible.
I think Nintendo just throttles your fucking internet whenever you try to download anything. And I think the Bluetooth in the Switch isn't that great because I use my Pro Controller, and sometimes like I don't know if this is a Bluetooth issue, or a Switch issue, or the Pro Controller issue, but sometimes when I try to turn on the Switch using my Switch Pro Controller, it doesn't work. So I have to like put it like move it near the Switch console, and then it finally works. As far as the only thing that I've used wireless for the PS5 is the Bluetooth, and I think that that's worked fine for me because I use the Pulse headset a lot, the 3D Pulse headset, and that works fine. It's never disconnected or anything on me. Neither has a controller, so I guess maybe the issues are mostly reliant on the Wi-Fi. It seems.
Yeah, it's the Wi-Fi stuff that's not so great. But again, it's not gonna. I don't know. Yeah, I just to agree with their questions. Like, yeah, why is this seen as the next game changer for the thing? All they're doing is an intermittent, upgrade. Usually, that happens whenever they produce these consoles. You know, chips get cheaper, stuff like that, and they'll put something maybe slightly better. But you know, especially for the wireless, they need to put a fucking better wireless inside of the damn thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Man, right. What is it? Chips?
Yeah, right. You got potato chips, man. All right. Let's move on.
How the French say it? Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. All right. Next up, Mob Hits. This could be considered a controversial question.
Controversy, oh. Eh?
We'll see. All right. He goes, can Hellblade 2, which is powered by Unreal 5, potentially be Microsoft's answer to Horizon Forbidden West? I thought Horizon Forbidden West reveal was breathtaking. Two different games,
bro. You're breathtaking.
Yeah, you're breathtaking, Mob Hicks. two different games, man. No comparison.
No, I mean, to be honest, like...
the only thing that difference is, like, they both got a white girl with dreads. That's, like, that's...
Yeah, that's about it. Like, I don't... I mean, Senua's Sacrifice, it's not a platformer. You don't do a lot of, you know, there's... She's very fairly grounded when it comes to things, unless they all of a sudden they're going to wake up one day and be like, oh, we got our own Horizon.
Yeah.
Girl, a redheaded chick with dreadlocks.
Is Senua redhead? I thought she was like, well, then because her hair was like covered in fucking dirt the whole time. See, Adam, there you go. That she was dirty, you know?
Yeah, she had all that white shit. She had all that white shit on her face, and, yeah. You know.
She was dirty.
That's fine.
But yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's the answer to Horizon. I think to be honest, I think Senua's Sacrifice has more of a feel to the God of War, the new versions of the God of War games, than Horizon. I don't think that Senua's next game is going to be an open world game either. I think it's going to be a very, very much like a corridor sort of game, sort of like the way God of War is, where it's large enough to be, you know, for exploration, but not so large where they just, you know, let you go all willy nilly.
Yeah, I think the new game, I was going to call it Senua's Sacrifice 2. I think Hellblade 2 will be bigger than the first one, but it ain't going to be no open world game. You know, no,
because again, they're still those guys at
Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory are still sort of going by the middle A sort of idea of creating games. They're not going to be spending thousands and thousands of hours creating assets and open worlds and all kinds of other shit, you know. So they're probably just going to be like, yeah, it's just going to be a larger designed game.
Yeah. Oh, Logic Win said he couldn't finish the first game. He didn't care for the story.
What, Senua's Sacrifice?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that long. I think
it's like 6 hours. Yo, who said that? Blitz, he wonders if, you know, Hellblade 2 is going to copy Breath of the Wild.
No, of course, everything copies Breath of the Wild. No,
it's actually going to copy God of War. Senua's going to have an axe that she can... it's not going to be an axe. It's going to be like a spear that she throws and it flies back to her.
Yes.
No, they all have different sort of gimmicks. Senua's Sacrifice is visual gimmicks and, you know, when dealing with mental, you know, the side note of is what she's dealing with mental things or are they real? That's her thing.
Yeah, totally different game, so no comparison there. You know? Like, maybe in terms of visuals, you could make some comparisons because they're both going to be, like, visually heavy games, but, man, I don't know. I think, you know, if we're going to talk about in terms of visuals, Senua's Sacrifice may have the advantage because, you know, no diss on Decima, but it's lost to run Horizon on that old-ass PS4. That Hellblade is going to be a pure next-gen title, you know? So,
well, Horizon Zero Dawn is also like a giant budget tentpole game, and I don't know how they're treating Hellblade this time, but I mean it was a fairly small indie title, and I think they're going to balloon it up, I don't think they're going to try and make it the gigantic flagship thing that Horizon is.
No way.
I mean, only a few games at every couple of years get that kind of treatment. Horizon Zero Dawn is obviously the darling of PlayStation. They're treating it accordingly.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be comparing apples to oranges unless both of the characters have certain facial features that get reconstructed controversy, and then we can do apples to apples there.
Yeah, again, the only thing they have in common is they're both white girls with dreadlocks. That's literally it. You know,
appropriation.
Yeah, don't get me started. That was another thing that was going on this weekend, but we're not going to talk about that. I'm just going to say Vikings had dreadlocks too. So know your history. All right, moving on here. This is from...
They just weren't called dreadlocks for them.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Eurocar 9 sponsoring Mob Hits' other question.
Sponsoring?
Yes.
Really nice.
Yeah. Let's call it sponsoring from now on, you know? It's Xbox versus PlayStation, today's biggest rivalry. I'm not speaking on consoles only, just overall in general. So is there a bigger rivalry out there than you know, PlayStation versus, I think, what is it, Disney versus Apple, right? That's a bigger rivalry.
It's all
Disney versus Apple.
Isn't it Disney or Epic versus Apple? It's one of them, right?
Epic versus Apple.
Yeah, I think World that's a bigger Apple. Yeah. Like, actually, let's go. What is the
Apple
biggest,
versus Apple?
Apple versus Apple. What is the biggest corporate rivalry out there? Let's expand, you know?
Apple versus Orange.
Are you saying Apple's Tropicana?
Because we're always comparing them, right?
So yeah, it's true.
In terms of gaming, I think Sony versus versus Microsoft is sort of the new standard bearer for rivalries in video games. I mean, obviously Sega versus Nintendo was that for a few generations back in the 90s, and late 80s. So yeah, I think
to be fair, it was just one generation.
it was just
one generation. That's all.
Yeah. The Genesis generation.
Yeah.
I think Sony versus Xbox. I think that's probably the biggest one. Nintendo, even though they are competing, they're not directly competing like the others are. And they're also always in their freaking lane, you know, smoking something else, man.
You know, let me read some
Nvidia
of these.
AMD.
Yeah. Kish Access, Marvel versus DC. Ford versus Ferrari.
Well, the Nvidia.
Two Democrats AMD versus Republicans. Oh, man.
Well, it is entertainment these days.
Yeah, you know? It is.
Seth versus Jedi.
Oh, shit. There you go.
I think the biggest tech one duking it out right now is probably Samsung Apple.
The biggest rivalry is Tony versus Breath of the Wild.
That is the biggest rivalry of all.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean the whole when you guys mentioned Apple, I'm like, yeah, I think everyone versus fucking Apple, because they like I think Brian is the only one that got my joke, but
yeah,
even fucking a company named Apple is fighting against Apple, the Beatles.
Yeah, that
Apple
is true.
Like it's fucking nuts how many fucking people they've gotten in with. So I think Apple versus anyone really is probably a good one. DC versus Marvel is also another one.
I don't even consider that
a real rivalry.
Not
to be
really
honest.
Not really a rivalry anymore.
Well, these days, yeah, it's.
I mean, to be honest, it's like I don't think they're really jockeying for position when it comes to comics because they're both fucking failing. Sorry,
you know.
And I'm a guy who works in the industry, so
I was about to say they're both kind of just failing. So
they're both the thing about DC and Marvel. It's not about DC and Marvel. It's about Warner Brothers and Disney. That's what where the real money is and what those guys can do with those properties.
Yeah,
it's not about no comics.
Yeah, no, it's not. Brett versus Sony. That's what Toomaker says.
Is that a big rivalry? Does anybody
for Throwdown fans? Writing, it is. You know,
apparently, big companies are writing news articles about this.
Oh yeah, I mean they've had
podcaster hates conglomerate company.
There's been several board meetings about me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Quick, Cerny, make the Wi-Fi in Brett's PlayStation not work.
There you
go. Oh, quick, Cerny, make all the games get buggy.
You know, I'm wondering if they have somebody dedicated to do that. This is somebody on the other end of Sony just pressing buttons.
Yeah.
But no, man, like, yeah, y'all think I hate Sony. It's kind of funny, actually.
By the way,
we don't think.
No, you guys don't. The podcast, like the people who listen to the podcast, are convinced that I have this fucking like death hatred of Sony. I'm like, y'all realize I play their console like 80% of the time, right?
They believe that you're hate playing.
No, you know what you Brett, but you know what you are, man. You're a fake neutral. You bought a PlayStation just to hate on it.
No, it's just the disappointed optimist thing, man. I keep trying to think something dope's gonna happen, and I keep being. I kind of let down. I'll let you guys know when I'm really, really excited about something and it actually pans out.
There you go. Star Wars fans versus Star Wars. Oh, shit.
Oh, dude.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with that one. That's a good one. That's a good
one, but slightly too spicy.
Oh, it's too spicy for Throwdown. Uh-oh.
Games journalists versus gamers.
It's true, though. It's true. I was thinking about that. You know, I was like,
That's been a thing since 2012.
Yeah, but now it's, you know, now it's escalated even more. You know,
even before that, it was like, oh, they paid off. No,
well, my favorite thing I saw,
when it hit the fan.
Always been a thing.
Yeah, the Gamergate thing fucking blew everything out the water. By the way, one of my favorite things I saw today was like these journalists get paid a shit ton of money and they can't even do their job. I'm like, who? Where's the shit ton of money? I want to make a shit ton of money, you know.
Man, I wish I was making fucking video game developer money. That's a
video game developer money. That's a different story, you know.
That's some serious fucking money.
That, well, that's the shit people don't understand. And they're like, "Oh, these devs are struggling." It's like, no, go ahead, go look on LinkedIn and stuff. These people are making 100K up.
They're making more than the expose fucking assholes that are writing this shit. I'm sure one lonely game developer is making more money than Homeboy, who seems to be who's chosen to fight for them.
Even an entry level position pays very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yet people want to make say that they're working fucking like slave labor, like people in fucking China who make the fucking consoles. Yeah. Nobody's writing no expose on those guys, right? How many hours are those motherfuckers working?
Damn, remember what was it? It was a Microsoft factory for some of the phones. Some that they set the whole place on fire. Remember that the workers went nuts over that shit.
Oh yeah, I can't remember the name of that company. Or remember people tossing themselves off the roof to get the insurance so that they could get for their family, because apparently it was more for them to kill themselves that they would give as much as for insurance rather than actually getting paid to do their jobs. Nobody's writing it was an expose written about that, but you know you can't. Nobody cares about that.
Wild. All right, moving on here. Dumeke be joining us in the chat all night, you know. If the ever persistent rumors of an upgraded Switch are true, what do you think / hope it'll be called? Switch Pro, Switch X, seems
the Switch Edition.
So what else could it be? I don't know. Switch XL.
Switch 4K, maybe.
Is it really? But that's the thing. Is it going to come with a dock? If not, then it's not really switching shit. It's just like Nintendo Super Handheld.
Well, it's supposed to be a dock one. Supposed to be.
Yeah. I think the rumors going around is that the dock is what's going to make it 4K.
Yeah.
Unless otherwise, it'll just be 720 because that's what the screen, the OLED, the new OLED screen is going to be 720p.
Yeah,
that's all I'll ever see.
What will we call it? I mean, I feel like it'd just be called something, you know.
I know what Brett's going to be calling it.
I don't think they'll call it a 2, because that would imply that it is a totally different console. So I don't think Switch 2. I think it'll just be like, you know, Switch Plus.
4K, or Switch Plus. Switch 4K or something
I have even worse.
Oh, no.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say, Brian. I know what you're gonna say. You. Do it. I knew it.
They gotta drop the new shit. They switch you.
Switch you.
Yeah, switch you.
You. Oh, like switch the you. Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're gonna get back in touch with the Mensa members that are named the originals and go with Super Switch.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that. A lot of people have been saying that.
But again, the Super Switch also would imply that it's a new console. When they upgraded the Nintendo Entertainment System, they didn't call it the Nintendo Entertainment System Plus.
Oh my god!
Super. I think it's just going to be called, you know, Switch, and then maybe a Plus or something very simple.
Well, like, they have to give it a bigger name. Because
I honestly think it's going to be Switch XL. Switch XL. Man.
Think about this. We've talked about this. There's got to be games that they're going to release on it that won't work on the current version.
Well, they haven't said that.
No, that's what I'm saying. But from what we know from the games that are available, because the whole point of doing this is to go for the next pool of games, which is for the ones that we've seen on PS4 and stuff, because right now it can't handle those. So if you're going to bring those in to work just on the hardware, come on now. There's no way the regular Switch is going to be able to do that.
Well, in order, I don't know who mentioned Switch XL, but the only way that name would fit is if it was larger. So it has to be bigger physically.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if the dimensions are going to, I don't know if there was anything, any mention of dimensions.
From the rumors is that it is going to be a little big, but like I said, I think they're getting rid of the bezel. That's how they're going to work it.
That's how the screen's going to get bigger.
Yeah. They're going to get rid of that bezel.
Didn't when you guys say they need the bezel though? I remember.
Some of it for they needed it for the what you call it, the Joy-Con. Better grip, but they could always change that design on the other, on a Joy-Con end. There's ways around it.
They need to do something with those Joy-Cons, anyways, right?
Yeah.
You can't buy the Joy-Cons on their own, can you? Like replacements?
I think you do. I think you can.
Remember they had the Mario ones, those red shits.
I was just making sure because I don't own the damn thing anyway, so I don't.
I never bought it. I just got my AP Doom controller right here. I look at it every day. I guess so.
My one thing about the whatever the Switch version is, the new the whatever they do with the new Switch, I don't know if they would cut themselves off like that by changing the bezel of the Joy-Cons. That would mean they would need to sell you a whole new set of Joy-Cons if they're going
to. They'll love to do that.
Well, not technically. Let me, 1 second.
Uh-oh. What's going on here? Carlos is about to put something on a screen. There's a Switch. Look how dusty that shit is.
Is it time for the visual aids?
Right? No, it's a visual. Yeah, look how dusty that shit is. That's how much you use it. Yeah, the bezel's bad big, yeah.
You can make the screen bigger. And it won't affect the Joy-Con here.
Dusty ass switch.
Apologies for the dust, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad it was dusty because it proves a point, you know.
Yeah. Is it dustier than your PlayStation VR?
Oh shit.
Well, the PSVR is within storage, so
the Super Nintendo is less dusty than the fucking Switch, you know.
Yo, man, shout out to the Super Nintendo, man.
Fucking system, man. See, Brett, I could give praise to Nintendo, too. Super Nintendo is fucking amazing.
Slight side note. We didn't talk about the leaked specs of the new PlayStation VR, did we?
Nobody asked us about it.
Oh. Okay.
Remember, just throw out your questions. Nobody asked us about it.
Was this this week? Or?
I thought we talked about that a while ago, the new PSVR.
They were just talking about some of the new things that they were going to be doing with it, but they were talking what the leak was what it actually was going to happen with it, and the new controller stuff.
I guess we missed it in the 20 stories we covered this week. This week crazy, you know. I guess if it comes back around, we'll throw it on a regular throwdown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The throwdown. All right, let's move on. Next question. Black Metal Gamer. This one's interesting. Okay. He wants us to rank all the Microsoft studios from best to worst.
All the Microsoft? Does that include the current Microsoft studios or all the traditional Microsoft studios?
I think it's just all of the ones they originally bought.
You got to give them a chance to actually produce with some of that Microsoft money. We can't assume of what they've done before.
It depends. I think you can. I mean, for me, number one is definitely Bethesda. They're number one for me. Incomplete is sort of like the initiative because they haven't released anything. 343 is kind of towards the end, I would guess. Coalition would be pretty high.
With a Happy Few, whatever that studio was.
Oh, yeah, they acquired them. Ninja Theory would be pretty high, I would assume. Who else do they have? Rare would be probably towards the bottom.
The Playground, the Forza guys.
Oh, Playground games would be pretty. The Forza Horizon games are really good.
Moon Studios, man, got to put them up there, you know.
Yeah, Moon Studios. They own Moon Studios? Excuse me?
Oh, no, they don't. Moon Studios does sit on Switch. Never mind, they don't count.
They just acquired them or something?
No.
I'll be a next spot after that.
Yeah, right? For real. The Coalition, right? They own them.
Coalition. Well, that was the end. Yeah.
I think Coalition has done a better job at doing Gears than 343 has done Halo. So I would put them more towards the top, even though Adam refuses to play with me.
Oh.
Every time I go to play, it says Netflix. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Whatever.
John, Square Enix is not a Microsoft company, bro.
Yeah, that is not a Microsoft company.
I hope you're trolling with that one. Where would you place 343 though?
Oh yeah, that's bottom tier.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
That's bottom tier.
I don't want to think about that.
After the Master Chief Collection, that's bottom tier.
Yeah.
That's so disappointing that they're still working on that shit.
I mean, they could move up if, you know, Infinite, who knows, but man, just on their track record alone, I can't put them.
Good. Yeah. Just to hop on that, I finished Halo 4 not so long ago. And yeah, it's a big dip in quality, I have to say, from the original trilogy.
I don't know. That game came out after fucking Reach. So that even if you're just playing three, which three is great, by the way, but if you go from Reach to 4, man, that's a fucking dip.
Yeah, Reach is actually my favorite, so I'm just like,
yeah.
And then apparently 5 is worse, so it's like, oh gosh, no.
5, it's different.
Anymore. It just didn't seem like, oh, you just slapped the Halo name on this shit.
Yeah. I can see why Tony's like, they need to like reboot Halo, because that, again, this whole time I was like, okay, I played 1, 2, and 3 and Reach and ODST, and like, yeah, this is great. Like, what's Tony talking about? And then I played 4, it's like, ah, I see now.
It's not even so much of a reboot, it's just give another developer a chance. Get some feelers out there, but like, all right, you know what? We're opening this up to other studios. Send us some feelers. Let us get an idea what you're working with and how you can make this a little better, and see what they have out there. Because this is pretty bad. It's gotten stale. That's pretty much it. Just feels stale.
You know who else is towards the top is Fallout New Vegas guys. What's the fucking name?
Oblivion? Obsidian.
Right?
Obsidian's pretty high. And then there's also all the Bethesda subsidiaries. The people who make Doom are pretty high. The people who id, Wolfenstein,
the machine games. Bro. It's a lot. What I want to see is just I wouldn't really feel comfortable answering this because I just want to see what they do with that Microsoft money. Because a lot of them had some great ones, and some could say, well, if we had more of a budget, we could have did this, and that. Well, I think you're going to have that open purse now. So now let's see. And when that comes out, then, let's just throw some judgment on what they've done lately, because it's all about what have you done lately.
Mm.
So. Yeah, no, he's right about that, you know.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The final question of the night.
Final
question. All right. So, also Black Metal Gamer. Okay, what games utilize PC-like settings the best? For example, for performance versus frame rate modes, etc. What games do it right, and what games do it half-assed? I've been noticing that lately with console games. Like, you get your performance and fidelity modes and shit. You know. Kind of interesting. I mean, you started seeing it with the PS4 Pro, but now it's like every PS5 game has it now, you know, and I'm going to assume Xbox game as well, you know. But I don't know if any game does it like, oh my God, this does it so great, because it's either you turn it on or off, you know.
It's funny. It's kind of sad that we can't get both at the same time with these
powerful
consoles.
Yeah, it's either one or the other. You know, it's like
you can't get fidelity and
The middle ground is like they call it performance RT, right? Where you get the 60 frames, you get the ray tracing, but it's at 1440p. You know, but yeah, it's like few games are 4K 60. I believe Returnal is. You know, I believe that is 4K 60. I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong.
I only have one.
No, Brian.
Returnal is 1080.
I
think they said it's native 1080, but then it's upsampled to 1440 and then checkerboarded to 4K.
Jesus.
I'm like, wow, well done for them.
Again, I'm going to say this. No, the number one, it's like you realize that most media is not actually in 4K, like from movies.
They're
not
even 1080. They're not. See when they crop the shit.
Like movies are actually mastered in 1080p and then upscaled up to 4K with a bunch of AI upscaling shit. So we're seeing all fake 4K. So why make these fucking promises to people that you're going to get fucking 4K? Seriously.
That's why I hate when I see these old 1970, 80 movies and they're like, oh yeah, get the 4K blue. Bullshit.
Well, actually, no. For films actually made on film, doing a 4K transfer for those is amazing because you get way more detail. Unlike movies that were made in the digital age, which all has to be upscaled, and it doesn't look there's artifacting.
I watched Gloria, just 1080p Gloria from 1980, and it was all cropped up. I mean, there were scenes where they were just trying to focus in on zooming on her face.
That's a leftover from Pan and Scan. We're not even fucking talking about that bullshit. We're not talking about that. You know, if you're gonna watch anything from the Pan and Scan era, which is like DVD,
I'm just telling you from the movies that they say, oh, this is now in 1080p, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. I'm like, this doesn't look right, and then I'll look at my original version, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they're both in the scene, they're both in frame, but then mm-hmm. on this version, it's all zoomed in on her face, and yeah, it looks beautiful,
that is the fault of whatever. If they're doing that, that's a fault of whatever.
Yeah, the director of Buffy talked about that for the Blu-ray when everything went on Blu-ray the show, and he hated it because they did a lot of that cropping just to get it into.
No, actually, what they did for Buffy, he hated the fact that they didn't crop it, because everything for TV on the corners is all cropped off. And then if you notice, like, some of that stuff has already been released, and you see all kinds of errors on the
extra scenes, extra people standing around doing nothing.
Yeah, you see, it's really supposed to be cropped down for that aspect ratio, because they know that even though they're filming it on film, they know that their aspect ratio is on the corner, and they're going to cut that stuff off. So if you have a bunch of, you have a boom mic operator holding a thing on the side, yeah, because they're not supposed to be seen. But yeah, in general, things are not in the 4K nowadays. When it comes to actual digital media like Avengers Endgame and all that other fun stuff out there, all that stuff is all fake 4K. It's faux K.
Yeah.
So I'm at the same time, it's like, we're looking at all these television. Yes, it's great, wonderful that these televisions can go up to 4K. But when all the content is all upscaled anyway, why are we even fucking bothering?
They got to sell hardware. That's all these TVs.
You know, man. It's like the biggest advancement that anybody should really care about is the HDR implementation. That's the one thing that can actually be quantified, not this fake 4K shit.
Curved TVs.
Get
those curves.
Yeah. So, I don't really have too much to add to that. It's just the way it is now, you know? I don't think any game does it better than another. They're all the same. It's like, turn this shit on or off, you know? Nothing really special. Borderlands 3,
remember that one for the PS5? That one had everything right off the bat. The thing is, didn't have to turn anything on or off.
It's what games utilize the system features better, not just like which has the better version of turning it on or off, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Again, I really feel like we should just be able to have both fidelity and frame rate.
Did I see somebody in the chat saying, why do we care if the game looks good? Really? Of course you want the game to look good, you know?
Yeah, you want the game
to look good. You pay $500 for a console, this shit needs to look good.
Yeah, you know? What if you pay $500 for a console and everything looks like a fucking PlayStation 1 game, but yeah, that shit runs like crazy.
Yeah, right, you're 120 frames, baby.
You know? 120 frames with no texture filtering and all that good shit.
Oh, bad.
Come on, man. There's two sides to this coin. You don't go to a fucking Avengers movie just to be like, okay, you know, just to it's gonna look good. You're not gonna go because you think this janky looking shit was gonna be perfect. No, it's not gonna work.
Okay, hold on. Correction. So it was to make it goes. No, I said, why do people care if it's not 4K if it looks good regardless?
Well, the thing, I think the biggest issue is that the problem is with the 4K thing. Yeah. If it looks good regardless, yeah, it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, it's people don't like the idea of seeing things for what they think is a filter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, despite most content being seen through, despite most of the content we see currently in 4K is all being seen through an upscaling filter. It's just about who's doing the upscaling filter better.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, a lot of, you know, again, like one of the big things nowadays is not that checkerboard rendering and all that stuff, is that AI upscaling. Now that's some serious looking stuff, because it's doing some really legitimately looking good stuff, you know, with the content.
I saw somebody do the AI upscaling stuff with the intro of Resident Evil Code Veronica. It looked fucking good, man.
Yeah, they're literally doing, like, now that is a quantifiable, like that is cool. Like, at least for previous games, it does some pretty good stuff. Like, I think they've been doing it on some of the remastered sort of, Square Enix is doing did a remaster of a game, and they did a bunch of really nice AI upscaling on a bunch of backgrounds and stuff in the game, and they all look really nice. Even the cinematics got a nice little thing on them. So, you know, if it's running in 1080, at least for me, if it's running in 1080p, you know, and they're running at 60 with all the ray tracing bullshit on, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Good show. Lively show tonight, man.
Yeah.
I like it. Fire. You know? All right. Manny, plug your stuff.
Yes. Got lots of stuff coming along. Got some DC Comics stuff. I'm still trying to figure out which things I haven't been announced yet, but we got some Static Shock coming up really soon. I think it's coming up this week. I think so. Static Shock number one coming on Tuesday, I think. Then I got obviously Excellence. Just finished off a big project with that. Then I also did some cover. Did a special cover for Aspen Core number one, which is a Kickstarter that's being run by Aspen Comics. If you're a big fan of Aspen, you know, and Fathom, that's what I did for them. I did a nice little Fathom cover for them. So that's on the Kickstarter, which, by the way, is doing very well. So thank you guys for if you're a big fan of that and you've donated, or you're not donated, but, you know, chose to support it. And then, yeah, usual Marvel DC stuff. Got all a bunch of covers and all kinds of other good stuff coming through. So I'd keep you guys posted. As far as in the docket of things to do, there is two unboxings that I want to do. So I'll let you know when that's coming. But it's some fun stuff. And then obviously my throwdown game night thing. I'll eventually announce that.
Nothing this week.
No Negan.
No, they didn't have an episode. They took off for the holiday.
And why they taking off, man?
Instead, they did a marathon. There's a marathon going on right now for The Walking Dead all the way through Memorial Day. So they'll be back next week, and we'll be back next week. So yeah, if you want to catch up, yeah, I am Negan over on Spotify, over at Coalition and iTunes. You could do all that, you know. But yeah, there was no new episode this week.
Oh man, you're doing some good numbers on that show.
People are actually jumping in on it, you know, and it's not just us, it's just the show. What's going on is a lot of people don't cover it because a lot of people just stick to Walking Dead proper. They don't think about the other ones, and it's understandable. It's a spinoff. Usually people avoid the spinoffs, but this is a good one. There's some shitty ones, but this is a good one. It's not a shitty one.
And there you go, man. There you go. All right. So I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Again, another good show, good turnout. Everybody was very happy in the chat, you know, so good stuff. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you're watching us on YouTube and you enjoy this episode, please hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Do stranger to danger.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone. This is
Adam Vale.
If you have off tomorrow, enjoy it. Barbecue, do something. Go visit the cemeteries if you have any members of your family that passed away in the war.
There you go, man. And Brian Majoma.
Man, that episode 2 of Invincible, like, I think I can see the twist coming. But even though, dude,
he's trying to get rid of Carlos.
Carlos, you already saw the episodes, man.
I'm trying to mute Adam here.
Yeah, hey, Adam's gonna spoil us up for Invincible 130.
No.
Yeah.
All right, people.
We'll see you next time. Later.
Deuces.